I have a question that I'd like to start with this morning. The subject that I want us to look at is following instruction. And I want to ask you, each one of you, just do a little inventory yourself. How would you grade yourself at following instruction? Now, you notice I said following instruction, not reading instruction. Because there is a difference. If we said, where would you grade yourself about reading the instructions? Maybe we'd have even a higher level of people. Yeah, I read it. But then if we ask, okay, did we follow the instruction? I have looked, I have glanced, bought something, opened the package, and I glanced at the instructions. And then moved on. I didn't follow them. You know, the easiest part for that is whenever I look at something, I'll say, I know how that will be. And I just had something simple. It's the simple ones that get us. I had something simple when my children were small. To buy one of these little red flyer wagons. You know what? You don't need instructions to put together one of those little red wagons. It only has four wheels and a body and a tongue on it. So I discarded the instructions, tossed them aside. How can this go wrong? And they have these, if you look at the wheel on one of those, it doesn't have a regular nut that you can take off with a wrench. You drive it on and you get one chance. When you drive it on, it's made to not come off till the wagon's wore out. So, you know, to me, the quickest thing is put the little shafts in, drive the nuts on the wheels, and you're ready to go. Well, in those instructions, if I would have read them, it told that before you put the front ones on, there's a piece, I mean, this is going to have a tongue on it, and the tongue has got to go on first before you drive those nuts on that will not come back off again. And I noticed that after I had all four wheels on and I don't have a tongue hooked up. And the only way to fix it is to get that back off. And it's not made to come back off. It will have to be destroyed to be able to get it back off. You know, sometimes it's the simple things in life that I say, I know that. I can do that. And it would help me so much if I followed directions, instructions. And I have something else that got me to thinking about this. Got Levi here this morning. And we've been working together on a model that we bought. And it said on the model, you need to be 8 years or older to work on it. Well, he had a good excuse. He's 7 and a half. So he's got time yet. In fact, as we were working on it, he said, you know, I think I'd even need to be a little more than 8 to do this. Well, I'm 64 and we're still working on that model. I'm looking at the instructions, trying to follow them, and it turned out to be so difficult. So I'm thinking about this. You know, it's one thing if we have intemporal things, we don't follow instructions. It could just take the job, make the job be a little bit longer, but usually we will get through it some way. But what I'm interested today is, if we fail to follow the instructions on spiritual things, it could cost us for eternity. And then it becomes much more serious than if I have to go down and buy a couple more of those little lock-on nuts that I had to tear off to fix my wagon. Or on these little models that we're working on, whether we get it right or whether we end up throwing it in the trash and say that's too difficult. But I look at some of these. God made us with that ability to look at something and take the information that I have and to choose a direction that I'm going to follow. But there's one difficulty. There's something that each of us must remember, especially when we're dealing with spiritual things. I can't see tomorrow. When I make this choice off of something that I'm looking at, a decision that I've got to make, and a direction that I'm about to take, I need to always remember that, you know what, I can only see these things that I have right in front of me. I can't see farther than that. And we sing a song, number 111. God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. It's only that our earth-dimmed vision the truth can never clearly know. And after that song has gone through all those verses, one of those verses was, God's way is best, heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hand. Then it comes on down, because you know what, all those are telling me what I need to be doing. But the last verse is what my desire is. That last verse is, thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul, if I will follow the instructions that are given to me. You know, in the past, whenever I bought a vehicle and I planned to keep it for a long time, I would go down to the auto parts store and I would buy a repair manual. And I always like to buy the one that it has a little note right there in the front. And here's what that note would say. These are step-by-step instructions based on the actual disassembly and reassembly of this vehicle. In other words, we took a car just like what you have. We took it apart piece by piece and put it back together again. You know, it'd be one thing if somebody said, I'm selling books, I'm trying to get books sold, and I'm telling you how to work on your car, and I've never seen one of them in the past myself before. Now, that'd be a little difficult. But in these repair manuals, they took pictures as they went along. And if you've had one of them, it's still difficult to be able to follow on some of those things and make the repair. But it tells me there's been some experience put in it. Should be easier to be able to take that manual and be able to do repairs out in the future. You know what? God knows step by step what needs to be in our life. And I can look at things and say, I believe this is the way it needs to go. And God sees the bigger picture. We heard this morning, sometimes it seems like maybe Jesus loves us, maybe some of the things that happen in our life, we feel like, why does God allow these things to happen? I'd like to start over in a verse in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, because there's a whole lot of experience that has gone on before us. 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, this cloud of witnesses, there's a lot of people in the past that were given instruction to follow. Some followed that instruction, some didn't. One, what was the very first one that we know of that instruction was given to? And most of these things are not, we wouldn't be able to say, I could not understand that instruction, it just was not clear to me. Most of these, God has made them very clear. There was no question about it. What was the first one in the Bible? It was to Eve, to Adam and Eve. Of all these trees in the garden, you can freely eat. Now, did he say, there's one tree here that'll cause you problem, and I'm not going to tell you which one it is. I'm going to just get you in trouble should you eat of it. He didn't do that. They knew exactly what tree it was. Of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it, lest you die. And it had to be a choice that they made, whether they would follow instructions or not. You know, here's the hindrance that we can have to following instructions. It's found over, and we use this many times, it's found over in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. That's our danger many times, as my understanding looks like this is the way this thing should go. I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Don't lean to my own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and there's a guarantee. He will direct our paths. If we will follow the instructions that he gives, he will direct our paths. There are some examples that I would like for us to look at this morning. One of them is, these things are about how I see this problem. In the 2 Kings, in the 5th chapter, is the story about Naaman. That first verse gives us a little picture of him. He was a great man, 2 Kings 5:1. With his master, he was honorable. By him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. You know, that all sounds real good. But here's a problem that he has. He is a leper. So I look at this. You know, there were instructions given to him early on. And it came from a little maid that said, I would that he were down there where I used to be, because there's people down there that could heal him. Why would he take the chance of going back to some place like that for healing? Because there is no hope for him anywhere else. This is an incurable disease. And she offers him a little bit of hope. Possibly, if you would go down there, not possibly, if he could just make it down there, I've got faith to believe that he could be healed there. So he went. And look at how he went. He departed, 5th verse, took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. So he's willing to buy his healing. He's willing to come, and not just I'm trying to get this for free, but he's looking at it that I'm willing to pay a high price if I'm able to be healed. But I look at this as we go on down, because I believe there's a lesson for us in this. 8th verse, Elisha tells the king of Israel, let him come now to me, and he will know there's a prophet in Israel. So there's a verse that talks about God saying, my glory I will not share with another. Is Elisha about to put himself on exhibition that he does something great, and the Naaman will go home talking about Elisha? That's not how it worked. Instead, what we see is Naaman came with his horses, this in the 9th verse, with his horses, with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. You ever read this story and wondered, I wonder what kind of neighborhood Elisha lived in? I wonder what his house looked like. You know, it probably wasn't a big two-story mansion. It was probably just something for him to make it in. And here, Naaman comes with his horses, his chariot, and he stands at the door of the house of Elisha. You know, there's some things that we need to remember. We looked at it even this morning, but I'd like to look at it again. There's some things that God notices about people, and so there's some things that he has a problem with. In this one, in Isaiah 66:1-2, so here's God looking at this picture with Elisha, Naaman coming up to him. And let's look at God here. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build to me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, all those things hath been, saith the Lord. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. You know, Naaman's not there yet. Naaman has come willing to buy his healing, and he's standing at the door of Elisha. And Elisha, I believe Elisha realizes, the only one that's going to get help is those that are a poor and a contrite spirit, and this man isn't here yet. So he doesn't even go outside to talk to him. Elisha, 10th verse, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times. You know, he didn't say, and maybe it will work and maybe it won't. He told him clearly, Go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That's a pretty simple instruction. Go down the road here to the Jordan River and just dip in it 7 times and you got your healing. You got what you came with, thousands of pieces of gold and silver and changes of raiment to buy. I'm going to give it to you for free. You just got to go down there and dip 7 times in the Jordan. You know, you'd have thought Naaman would say, wow, it is that easy. Instead, look at what he said. This is about following instructions. Am I willing to do it or not? Naaman was wroth in the 11th verse. He went away and he said, behold, I thought. You remember what we just read over there in Proverbs 3 and 5? Don't lean to your own understanding. His understanding was, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pull up here in this chariot. I've got all these rewards that I'm going to give him. And here he's even telling what he expected to happen. Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. You know, he had some expectations of how this thing is going to happen. It's going to be a big event. He's going to walk out here and he's going to just strike his hand over the place and call on the name of his God. You know, at least he had an understanding that there's a God that's going to have to be that does it. It won't be Elisha that does it. But he had it figured out. Here's how it ought to be. And then he has some more things that he's thinking about. There's some rivers in Damascus that are better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned and went away in a rage. Now, you know, if there was a chance that it had anything to do with water in the river, there would have been a lot of claims already given that there was healing for that. You know, sometimes we hear about the hot springs in Arkansas and things that will do have some good effects for people that are sick. Well, he's looking at this and he says, you know what? We've got cleaner rivers back at home. You know what he's really saying is, I'm willing to take leprosy the rest of my life than to humble myself. Because I believe he knows the water is not what's going to do it. I believe he knows I can go back home and I can bathe in those rivers all I want to and nothing's going to happen. But he's in a rage thinking how it ought to be. You know, sometimes when simple instructions are given, I can take a look at it and see it looks like it ought to be so different than this. You know, I am thankful that he had some servants. You know, servants have already learned how to be humble because they don't do what they want to do. They just do what the master tells them to do. And those servants were willing to speak to him in the 13th verse. His servants came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. You know, I wonder if they really felt that it was going to happen or not. But at least they're saying, why not try it? This is a simple thing that he's asking of you. And he told you that you will be well if it happens, if you'll do it. Why not do it? And it says, then he went down. What does it say over there in 66 and 1? To this man will I look, to him that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. And now Naaman, 14th verse, he went down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know, in those, there's a lesson for us. Just follow the simple instructions that God gives us to follow, and don't let my human reasoning cause me to miss it. He came so close to finishing out his life with leprosy because he was not willing to obey the instruction. There is a verse over in Isaiah 42, and I believe Elisha realized this. You don't see Elisha taking any credit for it himself. In 42 and the 8th verse, and I need to remember this always, I am the Lord, that's my name. My glory will I not give to another. neither my praise to graven images. So I need to realize, you know what? What I'm going to find in this about instructions that are given, it's never going to bring glory to a person. It's always going to bring glory back to God. Now, one thing happened here with Naaman after he was healed. He went back, and apparently he met up with Elisha face to face, and he was ready then to pay him off. And Elisha said, won't do it. You know, I think Elisha wanted Naaman to know when he goes back to his country, some of these things are not about money. Some of these things are not about the wealth that I could get if I heal you. Some of these things are just for what is to the glory of God. How well do you follow instructions when you punch in an address with Google Maps? Probably every one of us have done it. There's some times that I wonder how I would make it without it. I went to a place just over here in Midwest City. It seems like over in Oklahoma City, everything is just squared off and it's so easy to follow. And I went over to Home Depot on Sooner Road in Midwest City the other day. Before I got to buy something for work, before I got back to work, I had to pull off the road and punch in my address to work so it could tell me how to get back there. I ended up on South Sooner Road somewhere. They had the interstate causes the problem. You can't just get back on the interstate easily now. You're going to have to go over a ways and turn. And it took me so long to get back to work when it should have been so easy. How well do you follow the instructions? Have you ever had it telling you, okay, this is the way to go, and you think, nuh-uh, there's no way. It can't be that. Now, there are some times, there's enough times that it fails me that I don't really trust it 100%. We went to a meeting in Wichita a few years ago. And after the service that day, they said, okay, we're going to have everybody just meet at Golden Corral and we'll meet for lunch. So they already left. I'm a little behind them. So I said, that's no problem. Just give me the address and I'll meet you there. So I punch in the address and I follow it exactly. Turn here, go to the next block, turn here. Well, I end up, you're usually looking for Golden Corral to be in a commercial area. Maybe there's other restaurants around. And I end up turning into a subdivision. And I thought, well, maybe there's a back road that has taken me into Golden Corral. So it's telling me still, you're getting closer. You're almost there. Turn left here. And it says, now you have arrived at Golden Corral. And I looked, and this is just somebody's house. And I thought, wait a minute. There ain't no way this thing is right. This is somebody's house right here. And it wouldn't do for me to go to their door and say, but it told me this is it. You know, we have, the Word of God is so much different than that. We can trust God's Word. Google Maps will sometimes get us in a bind. So we have to remember, it's something that man has put together. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, we sing a song sometimes about God. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. So what it means is I want to be able to understand that he's leading me. I'd like to look at another example for a few minutes. A man named Joshua came on the scene. God's given him some instructions. Over in the book of Joshua, in the first chapter, he's telling him, you know what? Moses, my servant, is dead now. I want you to go over Jordan. And I was looking at, do you know how many people there were then at that time to cross? I had to look it up. It's in Numbers 26 and 51. The people were numbered right at this time, so we know how many people it was. And it impresses me more when I find the instruction that was given and how they followed that instruction. It shows that in that, how many there were, 601,730 men that could fight. That is a huge group of people. That's not counting the women, the children. You know what? Joshua's the leader now. The people are depending on him to give them instruction and how they're going to be able to best win this battle. And here's a battle coming up. And here comes the instructions. Remember, it says, God says, my glory I will not give another. So a lot of times his instructions are the kind that I would never use myself. I would think of some other way to do it. What instruction did God give him? Here's the city of Jericho. I want you to walk around it each day for 6 days. Walk around it one time each day. And there was another little something that they put in there. It's in Joshua 6 and 10. Let no word come out of your mouth and no noise with your voice. So maybe we're not supposed to talk, but have you ever talked with your mouth closed? You can give an expression to somebody of whether you are in agreement with what's going on or not. I mean, you can just grunt and people know whether you're pleased or whether you're not pleased with this. So God tells them, here's some of the instruction for you to follow. Let no noise be in your mouth. Don't say any words for these 6 days that you're walking around. Then on the seventh day, you walk around it seven times on this day. And at the end of that, then they will blow the trumpets and you will shout. And you know, it tells, here is what will happen when you follow those instructions. You know, it didn't tell when God told Joshua and Joshua passed it on down to them. It didn't say in that, maybe this will work and maybe it won't. Let's try it anyhow before we try something else. No, it was, if you'll follow these instructions, here's what you can be able to expect. And they did it and the walls came down. There was one more little piece of instruction that was given in that. And it says, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves be accursed. So out of this huge group of people that have been going around the city, they're not to talk. But when the walls come down, there's something else. You know, they have been many years without an income. They have been many years without being able to collect something that had monetary value. And now God is telling them in this first opportunity that they could get some, don't take it for yourself. If you do, it's going to be a curse. You know, there's something for us to remember. There's other people that will be affected by my disobedience of instructions. It happened with that one. In Deuteronomy, there's a verse that I want to always remember. It was given to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that both thou and thy seed may live. You know, whether I follow the instructions that God gives me is going to determine if I'm choosing life or death. And for some of those that follow after me, because this affected some other people besides just Achan. This affected because when they had such a victory at Jericho, they said, Ai is just a small city out here ahead. Let's go take that. In fact, we're not even going to need many people to be able to take it. Just send a few people. It's going to be okay. Remember what happened with that? The men of Ai came out and chased them, and didn't just chase them. They killed 36 men. You know what? Those are maybe 36 men that had families themselves. They have suffered a lot. Those families have suffered loss because of one man's disobedience. You remember Joshua fell on his face because he's in big trouble. We're over in this land now. We've just lost to one of the small cities that we're going to come up against. And God tells him, get up. Get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. Okay, here's about to come some more instruction. You know, God could have easily said, you need to go over and talk to Achan. He's the one that has done it. Did he do it that way? God's ways are higher than our ways. He gets more mileage out of his ways. How did he do it? Here's how he did it. In Joshua 7 and 14, It says that he brought them, this was the instruction that was given, bring them by tribes. How many tribes were there? There were 12 tribes. So they're picking a person out of each tribe, and it's decided it's this tribe. You know, when they have 600,000 men and a lot of women and children, who did it? I can imagine Achan would have thought at the first, there is no way anybody will ever find this out. But you know, I can hardly help but believe that when they picked his tribe, that something just kind of jumped inside. Whoops, they're on the trail. And then it didn't just stop with tribe, but it said they came down to the family of that tribe, and it picked his family. And then it came on down to the household. There's many different households in those families, but it picked his household. And then it said it came on down one more, and it picked the man. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I believe what it did was it caused the congregation, all of that group of people, to watch how God moved, how God shows that he knows everything that's going on. And he caused that to go step by step to where they would also, it would also bring a fear to them, tremble at God's words. But I'd like to look at another one, because not all people disobeyed. There were many that followed God's instruction. I'd like to look at one in the sixth chapter. There was so much wickedness around. You know, sometimes we can say today, wow, there's a lot of wickedness going on. But right in the middle of it, we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is about Noah. In 6 and 13, here comes some instruction for him. He's saying, I'm going to destroy them with the earth. And then 14th verse, now make an ark. And you know what? He didn't say, okay, just you make it the plan that you have, just whatever size you want, however you want to do it. Instead, he gave him some real clear instructions. Make it of gopher wood. Pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion. Gave him some clear instruction. This is the fashion that you make it. Here's the length of it, the breadth of it, the height of it. 16th verse talks about with lower, second, and third stories. 3 stories tall is what I want it to be. And, you know, it would take us a long time if we lived next door to Home Depot and had them just ship in the lumber to put it together. He had to go out and get a gopher tree, cut it down and cut it up, and use it to build this. Over 100 years that he worked on it. But at the end of this 6th chapter is a verse that's very important. After all of the instruction was given to Noah, and he's about to set out on it, 6 and 22, thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know what? I'd like for that to be the story of my life. Whether I understand it or not, when God gives me instruction to follow, that I would be careful to follow it to the detail. Because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Many times I can look at something and say, I really think this is the way it should go. We find religious people all over the world today that say, I believe I'll be able to make it with this. Here's our instruction. Where to Noah, he had just a few verses there. Noah, when you build this, build it this long, build it this wide, build it this high. Build it of gopher wood. Don't use any other kind of wood. You know, my own reasoning is, that comes to me is, for maybe 50 years now, I've been cutting the gopher trees around here, and there are no more anywhere close. And I can't drag this boat to a place where they have a lot of them. I'm having to bring them to it. I do not see why I cannot use an oak tree or some other kind of tree. That sounds like human reasoning. And why not? You know why not? There's a day that the rain is going to start. And I believe that boat will not float when it's not done by the instructions. In our lives today, God gives us instruction for our life. I thought about one of them. You remember when Peter went to Jesus and said, tell me, how oft should I forgive? Seven times? Would seven times be enough to forgive? You remember his instruction back? Till 70 times seven. In other words, just be willing to forgive. Because he said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's some real simple instructions, just like it was really pretty simple for Noah, but he needed to follow those instructions all of his life. You know what? I need to take these instructions that are given to me and put them into my life, because human reasoning can say, I tell you what, though I was really hurt on this one and I'm not ready to forgive, what I got to realize is here's the instruction laid out to me. And that instruction is, I don't want to head out of here with unforgiveness in my heart. You know, back then it was for Noah, it was for building a literal boat. For me, it is building something in my life that will be acceptable to the Lord when he calls me out of here. There's a verse over in Romans. Romans in the 11th chapter of Romans and the 33rd. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. You know what? I would like for that to be my testimony of who God is, whether I understand it or not. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who did God have to go to say, can you tell me how I should do this problem that I'm faced with? How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who's known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So on the things that come into my life, the instruction that God gives me, I want to put it in practice whether I understand it or whether I don't. When I know that it's instruction from God, just like the instruction that he gave to Adam and Eve, simple instruction. What would have been the difference if they would have just said, you know what? I don't really see why. It's a nice looking tree. It's nice looking fruit. But I've got this instruction that says, leave it alone. You know, there's instruction all through the Word of God that tells us there's some things that we need to leave alone, whether I understand it or not. I want to do that. I would like for us to close with a song. It's number 121. And it's talking about obedience. Anytime I have obedience, it's because there's been some instruction given me to follow. I was singing to this verse. Here's how we prove our love, by thy blessed word obeying. Lord, we prove our love sincere. For we hear thee gently saying, love is going to do as well as hear. Not just hearing what he said, but for putting it in our life. Dear Redeemer, we would hallow all thy words so firm and true. In thy footsteps meekly follow. Thy commands we're forced to do. Thy commands we love to do. I want to have that in my life. I desire your prayers.